Good morning, church. Good morning, good morning. I can see everyone's in high spirits today. Can we give it up for the booker? Yes, we definitely have a reason to praise this morning. We definitely have a reason to rejoice. And if you hear any voice cracks, just know I screamed a lot yesterday. So shall we all stand? Welcome to all of our online guests. You are just a part of this as much as anyone who is here, and we just want to honor you and say welcome. So let's pray together. Father, thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Father, what a love you have lavished on us, that we get to live constantly in your grace, in your love, flowing towards us so freely. Father, thank you that even as we rejoice today for the Springboks, Lord, that we can constantly rejoice in you. That as we find delight in these things here on earth, we can find even more delight in you. Father, that you are singing over us songs of mercy, songs of love. And Father, we just receive that love this morning. Our arms are open wide. Here we are, Lord. Thank you for your Spirit that lives within us, that we are children of the Most High. So Father, we worship you with all that is within us, with our whole heart. We lay it before your throne, and we just say thank you. We pray this in your holy name. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Let's rejoice in him.
Conquer the grave, you free every captive and break conquered the grave. You'll free every captive and break every chain. Oh God, you have done great.
We
dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh God, you have done great things.
You have done great.
You have done. And speaking of the great things that God has done for us, we have this awesome opportunity this morning to hear from the lovely Irene, who will be sharing her testimony with us this morning of the great things that God has done in her life. And so I want to invite you to take your seats as we hear this awesome testimony of God's goodness and His love.
Hello, church. So I'm so grateful for this opportunity to share my testimony with you. But yeah, this is what God did for me. So I grew up in a Christian home with amazing parents that supported me through everything I went through in the 9 years that I was sick. I had trauma from a young age. The enemy stole things from me without me even knowing. But my symptoms of my illness only started in 2014. I became sick with severe GI illness. I had depression, anxiety, anorexia, bulimia, and medication dependency. I couldn't keep food down. I was tube fed. I was on IV nutrition. I had long lists of medications and many operations. Doctors didn't know what to do anymore. I had such severe pain that I actually tried to take my life multiple times. I had people pray for me for so long. I went to healing nights, but nothing seemed to be happening. But even after 9 years of sickness and bondage, He still came through. And this is what God did. He revealed the trauma through therapy, and I started to take things in orally again. In February, we moved to Harkerville, and slowly I regained my strength. But there was still something missing. Fast forward to the last few weeks, I received counseling from Mama D, and I attended the young adults groups. And it's been absolutely life-changing. God has showed me that it was a spirit of fear, of rejection, anxiety, and a strive to perfection. A few weeks ago, after sharing some of these fears at young adults, I received prayer. The following day, I awoke a different person. I have periods that I'm completely free from pain, without any medication. I have no anxiety or depression. Don't get me wrong, I'm still on a wonderful journey, full of ups and downs, but God is on my side. And I don't see myself as the very sick Irene that almost lost her life multiple times, but I see myself as a completely free, healed daughter of the King. We need to realize that our fight is in the spirit. And for those who are still in the journey, know that there's real hope, an amazing, loving Father, a God that is capable to free anyone from any captivity. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, of timidity, or cowardice, but a power of love, sound and of a sound mind. His grace is endless. And through my healing, God has enabled me to play saxophone again, which I wasn't able to play for a long time. And so one of the songs that carried me through this journey was Goodness of God, and I would like to share that with you.
Amen, church. Isn't that an awesome testimony of the goodness of God? So I want to invite you to stand one more time. And we're just going to worship God and we're going to sing the song, Goodness of God.
with you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me, and all my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will see of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the good. Close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been.
thank you, Jesus, that we get to sing our testimony out today, that you are our faithful Father, that Jesus, you are with us forever and always, that you have loved us with an everlasting love.
Yes, Lord, we love you this morning. We thank you so much, Lord, that we are known by you and that you run after us, Lord. You chase us down with your love and your mercy and your kindness and your goodness, Lord. And what a joy it is for us to worship you this morning. What a joy it is to exalt you as our King, Lord, to lift up our hands and our hearts in adoration of who you are, Lord. We bless you this morning. We praise you. We worship you, Lord. There is none like you. So be glorified this morning. We worship and adore you. Amen. Amen. Good morning, everyone. You may be seated. Hallelujah. What a powerful worship set. Amen. Isn't God good? Amen. Well, great to see you all here this morning. Welcome to Knysna Vineyard this morning. If you are a guest with us, great to have you with us this morning. We'd love to just give you a small gift from us to you this morning if it is your first time. So if that's you this morning, won't you be brave and just slip up your hand nice and high so we can see you? Welcome. Keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. Great to have you with us this morning. Thank you for joining us. And just keep your hand up until somebody gets to you this morning. Okay, somebody over here as well. Great to have you with us. Hey, wasn't that book win great last night, eh? And you know what's amazing to me is everybody saying, we won, hey? Yet none of you played that game. But you're celebrating in the victory of the Springboks, hey? How much more Jesus? Jesus has won the victory for us. He's attained it all. And we celebrate in his victory, amen? We live in his victory and we're just enforcing what Jesus has done. And we are more than conquerors because of the greatest victory of all time, amen? So for those of you who don't know, I'm Steve. I'm one of the pastors here at Knysna Vineyard. So great to have you with us this morning. So if you're a guest and you have children, we have both Kids Vine and Toddler Care. So our children upstairs are from 5 to 13 years. And the toddlers, if you have toddlers, you can go through the iCafe to my left as you go out. And we have people who would love to look after your kids this morning. I'm going to be sharing the offering with you. I'm going to read out of Hebrews chapter 7. In this portion of scripture, it's a reference to Abraham. And Abraham had gone and won a battle and he was on his way back home and he had defeated a whole bunch of kings and he had taken the spoils with him. And on his way home, he bumps into Melchizedek. And there is a description here of Melchizedek who has no genealogy, he has no father, no mother, no beginning, no end. So he's a description of Jesus. And this high priest, Melchizedek, now meets Abraham on the way and he begins to declare to Abraham. He says, Abraham, God has declared that you are righteous. There is peace between God and you. And Melchizedek blesses Abraham. And then Abraham, because of the message that he hears, that he has been made righteous by God, that there is peace between God and man, he responds by giving to Melchizedek and he takes a tenth of all of the spoils and he blesses Melchizedek. And so here we read from verse 1 in Hebrews chapter 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham as he was returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham apportioned a tenth part of all the spoils, was first of all by the translation of his name, King of Righteousness, and then also King of Salem, which is King of Peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, he remains a priest perpetually, or a priest forever. Now observe how great this man was, to whom Abraham, the patriarch, gave a tenth of the choicest spoils. And then in verse 7 in the message, it says, but this man, a complete outsider, talking about Melchizedek, collected tithes from Abraham and blessed him, the one to whom the promises had been given. In acts of blessing, the lesser is blessed by the greater. And so he's saying in this portion of scripture that there is somebody who has blessed you, that God has blessed you, and that God has proclaimed a message over you, that in Jesus you are made righteous, that in Jesus there is peace between God and God. and you, and that the greater one, God, has blessed you. And so we respond, and he goes on in Hebrews chapter 7, we respond by hearing this message that the greater one has blessed us, hearing this message that God has declared us righteous, hearing this message that God is at peace with us, and we respond in kind by giving our finances because of the message that we are hearing from God. Hello? It's very quiet this morning. And so that's how we respond. We respond in kind, in worship and adoration, by giving God of what he has already given us. So this is not we are trying to give God something to bless us. No, God has already blessed us. And so we respond in kind by giving a tenth. And that's what he's saying here in Hebrews. So it's not out of obligation. It's out of gratitude and worship to the one who has blessed us. Amen. And so that's the motivation for our giving. And so as you give in Neisner Vineyard, you are sharing in what God is doing. And in the last month, we've had over 300 kids give their lives to Jesus. And so you have partaken. You have, by your giving, you share in those things. One day when you get to heaven, you share in the spoils because you've partnered in Neisner Vineyard. And those kids this month who have given their lives to Jesus. So what a blessing it is. Amen? So thank you so much. Well, man, it's a joy for us this morning to introduce our friends, Rich and Michelle Franzen. You know, Tando House was birthed out of our relationship with Rich and Michelle. Rich and Michelle lead a ministry in Johannesburg called Impact Africa, and they have three abandoned baby rescue homes. They run over, I think it's five or six schools. They have an intern base that can house over 60 people. They are reaching thousands of people every day with evangelism and discipleship. And their schools, when we say they are running schools, they are in the middle of a squatter camp and are run with extreme excellence. And so it's such a joy for us to have them with us this morning because we've known Rich and Michelle and been friends with them for over 20 years. And to see how God is using them to influence Johannesburg and reach so many people just because they made a decision to leave the United States and immigrate to South Africa. Now, I know a lot of South Africans are looking to immigrate and leave to go to the United States. And they said yes to Jesus and have made a tremendous impact where they are in Johannesburg. And so it's such a joy for us to have Rich and Michelle with us. They are very close friends of ours and ministry partners. And it's always good to hang out with others who are doing great things because it expands your own heart and encourages you to continue saying yes to Jesus. Amen. So, Rich and Michelle, why don't you come up and share your story with us? And maybe you can also I haven't shared why it's called Tando House. So maybe you guys can also share why it's called Tando House.
Well, such a joy to be here. Thank you again. We look forward to just kind of sharing a little bit of our story. Lots happening, obviously, as Steve mentioned, but didn't always start that way. We are just two ordinary people that got, on fire for the Lord. And then he called us to try to start taking some risks on his behalf. And we certainly didn't feel qualified. We didn't feel smart enough. We didn't feel like we had the title or the degree or the piece of paper. But because of our obedience and that risk and say, well, God, if we'll give it a shot. And time and time again, his faithfulness shows up. And so I look forward to this morning. We're going to kind of tag team it a little bit and share our story about the Tando House and some of our other fun exploits. But I'll let Michelle kick it off and I'll be back up.
Well, good morning. It's great to be here, and we've had a lot of fun. As Steve said, we have been here in the country for almost 20 years. So don't let the accent fool you. We bleed green and gold, and we had a ball last night cheering on the Springboks. My son, I have four children, my three older children, two of them are in the States. And my son was 2 years old when we moved here. He is in the States and he was watching the game. He's watched every game. I love that my kids love South Africa. And we love South Africa. We love this country, love its people. We're not going anywhere. We are here, whether you guys like it or not. We're staying. We love it. We love Knysna. And it's truly an honor to be here and to be a part of some of the things that are happening here. Great things are happening here. We love Steve and Dee. They've been dear friends that have encouraged us on this journey over the past 20 years. But I want to just jump in real quick. As we said, we're tag teaming, and you've got two long-winded preachers here, so we'll see how we go. So I'm going to jump right in. We're going to talk a little bit around this phrase, always abounding, and what that means. Now, when we were in premarital counseling, we're actually also going on 30 years of being married. So, gosh, it's hard to believe. But long ago, when we were in premarital counseling, and then a lot of the different marriage books that you read, they will tell you in your communication, do not use absolutes, right? You don't want to be saying, you always leave the cap off of the toothpaste. You never remember to put the toilet seat back down, right? How many know that's not helpful for the marriage? So any that are about to get married, that's a little free advice for you. It actually is helpful. However, we're going to look at a scripture here, and Paul uses and instructs us with an absolute. And even as we were sitting here, I just thought about it, what Rich was saying, and I'll just say it now. And I think we can't attain these absolutes. Only God is always faithful, right? Will never leave us or forsake us. So why is Paul using an absolute? We're going to go to it in a second. I just think because he's saying, you know what? You always will abound. You will always be able to do things when it's in God's strength, in God's way. Never in our human strength. And so let's look at that scripture. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, he ends out the chapter with be steadfast, immovable, always abounding. Say always abounding. In your career. In financial status. In your relationships. No, I believe the Lord wants us to abound in those, but this specifically says, what are we to focus on? What's the eye of the prize? Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Do you know that God has works for you to do? When we cross the line of faith, when we make Jesus Lord and Savior of our lives, we get to be a part, or a child of God, we get to be a part of this international team of believers, of Christians. And that's awesome, but you know what? That team has a motto, it has a mission, it has a mandate, and every one of us are a part of making that mandate known. That mandate is a general one for each of us. It's found in Matthew 28. You probably know it. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right? That's our job. It's not just the pastor's job. It's not the evangelist's jobs. It's not just the fivefold ministry job. It's our job. Team Jesus, making him known, being light, being salt in our spaces, in our places, in our relationship. We have this general mandate. We also have a specific mandate that is more tailor-made to us. Ephesians, one of my favorite verses, Ephesians 2:10. It says, for we are his workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, and that we should walk in them. a lot of goodness in this scripture. So when we were being formed, we know we were formed in our mother's womb, right? At that same time, God was tailor-making specific good works for you to always abound in. I love that it says he intends for us to walk in them. It's not a mystery. It's not a secret. He wants for us. He made them for us. He gave us the giftings and the talents, and he wants to use us in these specific roles and ways. He wants us to walk in them. He intends for us. He knows we're going to be most satisfied and most fruitful, and it's going to bring him the glory when we do. He wants that for us. His goodness is following after us. He already prepared it in advance for us to walk into it. There's goodness that comes when we walk in the good works that God has created for us. So there's two mandates. Notice that it's a plural. It doesn't say good work. I don't know about you, but I used to kind of get stuck in thinking about, I have a daughter that's in matric. And you know, what's the big question? What are you going to do? Where are you going to go? How's it going? And there's so much pressure on these guys. And I feel like there's always pressure at any age. There's sometimes I'm in my 50s and I'm like, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? You know, I'm still trying to figure it out. There's this pressure, but sometimes we get stuck into it's just a career or it's just a relationship or it's just, it's not one work. It's good works. In every season, always, so all the time, in every season, good works that he wants us to walk in. And you know what else? Your age doesn't matter. Your age doesn't matter. If you have a pulse, you have a purpose. If you're not dead, anyone dead here? I don't think anyone's dead here. We might be a little tired after staying up late, but if you're not dead, you're not done. I got a lot more. I'm here all day. In our house, we don't have dad jokes. We have mom jokes. And my kids would all tell you they're worse than any dad joke that you've heard. I actually love dad jokes, by the way. Laughter doeth good like a medicine. If you've got a pulse, you've got a purpose. Age doesn't matter. A little bit about our Tondo. Since I was young, as far as I can remember, I always had it in my heart to adopt. I always thought I would adopt a child. And so we got married, and Rich, we same way. We kind of already had it in our sights. We were very open to it. Why not? We waited about 5 years before we had our first and oldest child, who's now 24. And then we had two subsequent children after that. So we have three kids, and in the midst of all that, we start moving overseas and transplanting here from America to South Africa when the kids are little, and we're trying to start an NGO and in a ministry, and these few of these things that you heard of what we're doing, well, it weren't happening then, and we weren't a big part of a team. It was just us. And so you know how it goes. Life gets going. And we've got kids, and the kids are getting older, and we're getting older, and lots of things are happening, but Steve talked about schools and baby homes. And so as I'm in my 40s and latter 40s, I start thinking, oh, you know what? Adoption, I think, was just always on my heart, and it's just kind of coming out a different way. It's not that I'm going or we're going to personally adopt. It's through these schools with all these kids. We're educating over 700 children up in Joburg in these schools. It's through these baby homes. My three oldest children all have a heart to adopt. They're going to adopt. That's how it's playing out. That's why this has stirred in my heart for so long. Because surely, in my late 40s, we are not going to personally adopt, right? Surely that wouldn't be it. Well, January of this year, we adopted at ages 52 and 53, our youngest daughter, Tondo. She's, and that picture adequately describes her. She is a ball of sass and sweetness and spice. Even upstairs, I said, she's staying for another service. And they said, oh, we just love her. She is just telling us what's going on and keeps eyeing the popcorn. That's just my daughter. She loves to eat. She fits right into the American family. But you know what? When we were in a foster care situation with her and we were contemplating the adoption, my family was all rich and the older kids were all on board. We're doing this. And it's not that I wasn't, but I was trying to be realistic. God, we're old. I'm old. And I started having these real conversations of, Lord, did you think about that when I'm in my 60s, I'm going to be parenting a teenager? You know what? Truth be told, I didn't love doing it in my 40s. And I had a lot more energy. And now you want me to do this in my 60s? That doesn't make sense. And I felt the Lord just so tenderly work with me, take some time for things to marinate with me. I felt like the Lord just began to speak to my heart and say, Michelle, when did I ever ask you to do something in your own strength? When has anything that you see or that you're a part of ever been done in your ability or your way or your timing or what according to what you thought? It's in my strength. I still don't know how I'm going to parent a teenager in my 60s. We kind of feel like she's 5 going on 16. We kind of feel like we're actually already doing it right now. Now our phrase is, surely the Lord will come back by then, right? Surely. I like surely. You know Shirley's in the Bible. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of our life. We pray for Shirley every single day. Shirley's following us. Goodness and mercy is following us. Told you I've got lots of mom jokes. Maybe I'll make that a thing. I can go viral with mom jokes. I won't quit my day job. The Bible is also full of examples of the people that we read about, we preach about, we hear about, who accomplished and who really dove into their good works, their destinies, their callings, what God put on their lives later in life. There's many. I would say probably most, I'm not the theologian, but probably most. And in fact, I just want to share two guys. And sorry, I don't have these on the screen for you. And I need to turn this around. Tell me I'm old without telling me I'm old. I can't navigate an iPad. But in Joshua 13 and 14, chapter 13 and 14, I'm going to read a couple things there. It says in Joshua 13:1, it says, now Joshua was old and advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, you are old and advanced in years. I feel like, did Joshua not know? Maybe you just need to be reminded. He says, you are old and advanced in years, and there remains yet much land for you to possess. You're old in years. He was in his 80s. Old in years. He's already done a lot. He had been stuck in the wilderness for 40 years. They're now in the promised land. They've been conquering. They've been taking territories. They've been working hard. I would imagine I'd be going, Lord, I'm kind of tired. Did my thing. Thank you very much. Retirement. Maybe vocationally we can retire, but we don't ever retire from the good works and always abounding in what God has for us. We don't ever retire from making him known in our spaces, places, and relationships. Much more land. Not just more. I love that too. You got much more. There are days I feel like the Lord is telling us, you've got much more. And I'm like, okay. Ooh, take a breath. As long as we got caffeine, as long as we got coffee. All right, I'm there. The next chapter. So the Lord went to Joshua. Now in the next chapter, I love it, Caleb. He's 85 years old. How do I know he's 85 years old? Because it tells us in the text that he's 85 years old. I'm smart. Caleb, in the very next chapter, he goes to Joshua and he says, hey, listen, I know I'm old. And I know we've been doing a lot, but Moses promised all this land to me, and I'm fit and I'm strong and I want to take it. He got it. I've got more to do. I am not done. It says, and I'm just going to read for you, and now behold, the Lord has kept me alive. This is Caleb speaking. Just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke his word to Moses while in Israel, and we walked in the wilderness. And now behold, this day I am 85 years old. See it there? I'm still strong today as I was in that day of that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then for the war and for going and coming. So now give me this land, this hill country, which the Lord spoke on that day. I've got more. So before Rich comes, I just want to exhort, I just want to encourage every age group in this room. If you're young, don't wait. We get distracted with lots of different things going on and what am I going to do and where am I going to go and who am I going to marry and all those things. Don't wait. You don't have to wait for the right relationship. You don't have to wait for the right job. You don't have to wait for the right university to accept you. God has good works in store for you at your age. You're never too young because we're always abounding in every season. My girl's up in Matric, and just on Friday, she heard some disappointing news about the university and the timing that she wants to go. You know what? God's got good works for her. And what if it's not about the specific university, but it's about what am I going to do for the Lord on that university? How is he going to use me to be salt and light and make a difference here? It's more than just about studying. It's tapping into those good works. Maybe you kind of fall more in the middle age group. I was going to say it when I first was preparing 30 and up, and then I thought these poor 30-year-olds are going to be like, wait, what? I'm now middle-aged? But if you're 30 and over, maybe you're just kind of thinking back a little bit. Okay, let's say 40s. They're thinking back a little bit in the good old days. Don't get stuck there. It's good works. There might be some new works on the horizon that God has for you. And the team over 50, I'm hours away from 53. I'm right in there with you. And you know what? Our bodies might be wasting away, but we're being renewed. And God has more for us. He has more for us, good works that he has intended. He created and he intends for us to walk in them. Amen? Amen. All right, I'm going to let Rich take us home.
All right. Wow, I did all right, didn't I? Come on, yes, yes. And so we learn to kind of spur one another on in their seasons of life when she's faith-filled and I'm kind of doubting, and there's times where she's a little doubting and I'm faith-filled, and it takes that partner and encourager, and sometimes, you know, it's one another, but every time, all the time, we can find it in God's word and his encouraging word. And this is inspiring, that God has specifically designed, engineered, and crafted you specifically for your good works. And we also know, just like God has worked through us, we got a long way to go, but we've come a little bit over the few years. But at the same time, it's not always easy. It's not always easy to walk in these abounding great works. And I'm going to read a passage of scripture that has helped me over the years. And there's a lot to unpack here, but I'm going to give you just a few of the highlights as we're learning and running and gunning and just saying, God, here we are, use us somewhere, somehow. And here in this portion of scripture, it's talking about the, you know, God's army, the church. And he's talking about specifically back when it was King Saul at the time and his son Jonathan. And they were trying to advance the kingdom of God. They're trying to move the church forward. They're trying to conquer ground. And at this time, there's a physical enemy, the Philistines' army. And they're going back and forth during this season here. And actually, they say they're taking some losses and some wins, and they keep going back and forth for years. And at this point, Jonathan's like, man, I'm tired of the fight. I know, God, you got a calling on me. I know I have some works I'm supposed to be abounding in, but I'm tired and I'm battling. And at this point, the church, they're taking some hits and some losses. They're actually running out of weapons. That's where you hear the story. They're taking like their plows and their hoes from the farmland, going and getting it sharpened so they can use it as weapons because they don't even have swords anymore. And we read this part where, you know, the Christian church, Jonathan, you know, he's fighting on God's behalf. But what's up against him is this. He says, here in 1 Samuel chapter 13, the Philistines, they assembled to fight Israel with 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers, and soldiers as numerous as the sands on the seashore. That's a tongue twister there. And they went up and camped in Michmash and east of Bethan. And when the Israelites saw that their situation was critical and that their army was hard-pressed, they hid in the caves and the thickets among the rocks and in the pits and in the cisterns. And then, are you getting this picture? It's like, here we are, we're taking some losses, not even equipped. We don't have the resources, God. We don't have the morale, God. We don't have what it takes to kind of conquer this land. And standing before us, can you imagine seeing 3,000 charioteers? It'd be wider than all of Nisna. And 6,000 charioteers and soldiers as far as you can see. You guys have great beaches here. You can imagine all the sand on the seashore and all the soldiers. They're up against some hard-pressed things. And I feel that way often. You know, in one of our communities, it's over 350,000 people in this informal settlement, the squatter camp. The amount of poverty, the sickness, the disease, the crime, and the hopelessness that just encompasses that place. And I'm like, God, are you sure? That's my chariots out there. That's my soldiers against us. And I wonder what it is in your life. You might look at me, yeah, rah, rah, Rich, that, Michelle, that's great. But you don't know what I'm facing. You don't know what I came out of. You don't know the abuse I came out of and survived. You don't know what bankruptcy and divorce or the hard-pressed things that I'm facing. But I'm telling you right here, right now, God has uniquely designed and engineered you for great works. He knows the chariots and the soldiers that you faced, and he has made a way through it. And though it may be hard, though it may be a challenge, keep pressing and testing God. We read this story. It talks about how the Philistines were coming and the cliffs and the mountain range that was there. And here, the next verse, Jonathan says this. He says, one day, Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to his young armor bearer, not a wise person, just a young, zealous kind of guy. He said to his armor bearer, come, let's go over to the Philistines' post on the other side. But he didn't tell his father. And then on each side of the pass, Jonathan intended to cross was reach the Philistines' outpost. There was cliffs. One was called Boaz, and one was the other Seneth. And the cliffs stood to the north to Michmash, and one to the south to Gigab. And Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, come, let's go over to the outpost, to those uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will be with us. What? Perhaps? Perhaps 3,000 chariots, you and me, we're going to go pick a fight. And it's, what are you thinking? And he continues with, he says, perhaps the Lord will work on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. Praise God. And he says this, do all that you have in mind, his young armor bearer said. Go ahead. I am with you, heart and soul. And so it just takes one person. It just takes the word of God. And Jonathan's understanding said, you know what? God's either God or he's not. And though I face all this craziness of my history, my past, my abuse, my shortcomings, but God has designed me for my good works. And though I face chariots and I face problems, perhaps God will show up. And so, and it talks about those valleys and the hills. Basically, Jonathan and his armor bearer go pick a fight with numerous thousands of tens of thousands. But again, to get there was he had to take a first step, a risk. And he had to literally, it goes on to explain, he had to climb up this cliff, this hill, to get to the bad guys on his hands and his knees. And they're climbing up while the Philistines are watching them, joking at them, harassing them, throwing insults at them. And so even when you think, God's called me, here we go. But I take a step of risk, even in the midst of more abuse and risk. It's risky to go up the mountain when they're pointing at you. I'm completely vulnerable. I'm completely exposed. I'm completely at the mercy of God and the mercy of others. But yet, God can deliver us whether by few or by many. And it takes some boldness to just take a step of risk, because perhaps God is going to use you. God can use you right where you're at. And it might be a little risky. It might be a little vulnerable. But I'm telling you, you might be a little fearful. But even if it is fearful, God wants to show up. God can work through that. And I tell you, the rest of this story, I'll just summarize it for you. You know, the Jonathan and his armor bearer, they climb up, they pick a fight, basically, and they start winning and slewing these guys in a small space. They take out a bunch of them. And then confusion starts to come. God sent confusion to the whole Philistine army. And then finally, you know, the Israel army, the church, they're waking up and they're saying, hey, what the heck's going on over there? Who are those dudes? What's going on? Hey, everybody wake up. Church, come alive. There's something happening. A revival happens and they start to jump into the battle finally. And then God sends confusion on them and they start smoking the whole army and chasing them for 3 days and winning the ground for the kingdom of God. Okay, so two dudes that say, perhaps God can use me. They cause a revival to advance the whole kingdom of God. And so often we are looking and sitting back and waiting for often the church to do the work, the pastor to do the work. That's your full-time paid position. I pay you to go do that work. But God is saying, listen, you're designed for great works. What is your calling? And God has placed you in your circle of life, your circle of influence, and placed you right there for you to start something. Start something. And every single one of you, you know, you don't necessarily need a great handwriting on the wall of God speaking to you in 10 confirmations and through the scripture. Pretty much most of us know right now in our gut, right now, what that step of risk is, that person in my family, that neighbor, that workplace, even something I can outreach and do, that dream, that vision, that ministry that's sitting inside of me that wants to come forth. Maybe it's even with our giving. You know, God, it's risky. I'm vulnerable. I'm exposed. I can't give that much. But God said, do you trust me? Perhaps I can bless you greater when that money doesn't have control over you, but I freely give. And I so often believe that us as believers, we're looking for God's moving. And we say, oh, the church is moving. That's a great church. Let me go there. And God's moving. The pastor's great. That's good. That's awesome. Oh, here's a great worship conference. Let me go over here. God's moving over here. Oh, this is a great conference and event. Let me go over here. Oh, this is a worship thing and the awesomeness. And sometimes as believers, we find ourselves kind of chasing God and moving towards God and chasing him. But so often, I believe it's this more of this story where God's like up in heaven, looking down and saying, where's there a move of man that I can get behind? Who's that dude getting on the boat thinking he can walk on water? That's crazy. Let me get behind him. Who's that gal starting that Bible study in her high school? That's crazy. Let me get behind her. Who's that guy going next to his neighbor and bringing groceries? That's audacious. That's generous. Let me get behind them. Who's that person going and forgiving their family member and trying to be that bridge? That's bold. That's crazy. That's vulnerable. That's risky. Let me get behind them. And I'm telling you, God wants to get behind you and your move and your calling. And so now's the time. You kind of know what those inklings are, and stand behind your perhaps. Often I'm telling my guys, I said, listen, if you feel 52% sure, take a step. Take a step. Don't wait for all these callings or handwriting. I love it. Just like the book of Acts, you know, it gives it a detailed explanation. It says, you know, as apostles, as they were on their way to Tarsus, the Holy Spirit warned him. When they're on the way there, the Holy Spirit warned them. The Holy Spirit told them to stay there longer, told them to go there quicker. God delivered them. God supplied for them. The resources were there. On their way to, on their way there. Boy, some of my guys, it's like, it's easier to steer a moving car than a parked car. And right here, right now, we just want to inspire you, to encourage you, to trust and to stand and to test God's word, his benefits that he died to give you. God is saying, listen, I've made the whole entire planet and all the resources in it. In Psalms 40, he says, I made everything, all the gold, all the copper, all the zinc, all the platinum, all the diamonds, all the trees, all the paper, all the minerals. They're in the palm of my hand. I created them. And every single heart of every single person on the planet, the kings, the magistrates, the rulers, the judges, the governors, they're all in the palm of my hand. And he says, I am asking you to join with me to go and do your good work. You know, as him, as our senior partner, we are his junior partner. And he's saying, I've got all the resources. If you lack wisdom, James 1 says, ask and I'll give it to you. You know, you lack resources, ask. You know, and I will give it to you. And God is saying, come on, test me. Test me right where you're at. And so this morning, you know, don't be afraid of having to work within this four walls structure. The kingdom of God is so much bigger than a church or a ministry. And it's about reaching out to wherever you're at. You know, I often feel like many pastors, and now Steve and I talk about this times, we feel sometimes as a leader, we're kind of like on those old stage coaches where you're the little driver on top of the stage coach with just two little pieces of leather, and you got this running, raging team of horses in front of you. And that's what the church should be like, and a good leadership it should be like. It's just like, I can't do it all, and I'm just kind of up here trying to steer the reins a little bit, but it's running and raging. And I'm telling you, let it run and rage throughout Nice, not that it affects you, every neighborhood, every township, every city next door, every province and every country, and let it spread through the power right here, what God's called you to do. In Jesus' name, Jesus' name. And so this morning, we just kind of want to leave you with a provocation, you know, that thorn in your side. And just, I encourage you, you know, how God works with me is usually just with bullet points. I don't have sentences. I barely know English. I don't know any second languages. But, and it's usually just a simple bullet point or two with two or three words. And think about that. What is your good work? What is that thing in your heart, in your gut, your dream, your vision, your perhaps? Is it one of those family members? Is it that workplace? Is it that ministry you want to step out in? And I'm telling you right here, right now, perhaps God will flow through you in a great way. Define it with a bullet point and then take a step. And as you steer, you know, he'll lead you. He'll guide you. He'll go, stop. No, let me provide for you. No, go here, go there. And let his confirmation along the way be the evidence you need, not necessarily 10 handwritings on the wall and 10 confirmations. Let your faithfulness show you the momentum. So we pray for you. We believe in you. We're constantly standing with you. Although you may not know us, you got prayer partners, you got comrades in arms just a little north of you. And we pray for your fruitfulness and your blessings, because we know there's great plans ahead of us here in Eisna, and it's not going to be the same place. God bless you, and let there be thunder.
Man. Man, are you encouraged this morning? Perhaps. Maybe just a perhaps. Hey, and all that God wants is a yes from us. Amen. Won't you stand to your feet this morning? And that perhaps includes every single one of us. No one is too young and no one is too old. God is not done with you yet. Amen. He's given us a mandate to reach the world with his love. And he's given you a specific, tailor-made mandate. Perhaps God wants to use you. You know, sometimes we want to look at our neighbor or somebody else. But perhaps God wants to use you to change your world. Won't you bow your heads this morning? Maybe you're standing here and you think that you're done. Maybe you're standing here, you think you don't have the money. You don't have the talent. Well, this morning, God has encouraged you with a message that all he's looking for is perhaps God will be with us if I take a step. And he's asking for a yes. Are you willing this morning to say yes to him? Are you willing just to say, yes, Lord, perhaps you'll be with me? And watch him use you and expand his kingdom. Maybe you're standing here this morning, you do not know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. That's the first yes, is to say yes to him. And I believe that God has brought you here this morning for you to hear how much he loves you and the wonderful plan that he has for you. So if you're here this morning, you've never made Jesus your personal Lord and Savior, I would love to pray with you, lead you in a simple prayer so that you can receive him and that this can be the first yes for the rest of your life. So if you're here and you're saying, yes, Steve, that's me, please would you pray for me? I want to receive Jesus this morning. The Bible says you must be born again. You have to receive Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So if you're standing here and you're saying, yes, please pray for me, Steve. I want to say yes to Jesus this morning. I'm not going to embarrass you or call you to the front, but what I would like to ask you to do, if you're saying yes to Jesus for the first time and you want me to pray for you, slip up your hand right now so I can see you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Once you put your hand up, you can put it down again. Thank you. If you raised your hand or wanted to, I'm going to ask you just to pray after me. And if I can ask the rest of the congregation just to pray with those who have raised their hands this morning. Can we just pray together? Just say, Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your Son. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again. I believe you are Lord of all. I say yes to you, Lord. Thank you that you save me. Thank you that I'm forgiven. Thank you that I am loved. And thank you that I am your child. Come and live in me and make me new. Thank you, Jesus, that you are my Lord. And so, Father, we just thank you for every person who raised their hands and prayed that prayer from their heart, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that they will never be the same. And, Father, I thank you for each person this morning that is saying, yes, perhaps the Lord can use you, use me. Thank you, Lord, that perhaps you have tailor-made a specific mandate for my life, Lord. And I thank you for things to be birthed this morning and for risk takers, for those who decide to trust you and take a step of faith. that today will be the start of great things for the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just while we were praying now, I just saw such a confirmation of what we've been shared with this morning, and that is of a cement truck, and how when cement stops moving, it dries and becomes hard. And I really believe this is such a word in season for us as a church, that we're going to not stop moving. God has put plans in our hearts. He's put visions. He's put dreams. And we as a church are moving from a little cement mix on the side for a little wall. And God is putting us in a cement truck that is going to keep moving and going places where we build deep foundations, where we go and impact this town, this city, this country, the nations. So we are moving. We're not going to stop. Thank you, Richard and Michelle. We are going for the kingdom of God. Amen.
Thank you, man. And we all get to do it together. Amen. God bless you, man. We have a ministry team here this morning that would love to stand with you in prayer. Rich and Michelle will be here in the front here if you'd like them to pray for you. If you raised your hand this morning, as you exit the church, on the right-hand side, you'll see a green board that says, "What now?" We would love to put a book into your hand and help you as you start your journey with Jesus. So please avail yourself to one of those right now. Don't forget to register for the Global Leadership Summit at the iCafe. And at 11:30, we're going to be up at Tando House, where we're going to be cutting the ribbon and opening Tando House officially this morning. So you're welcome to join us there as well. Always remember, you are highly favored and deeply loved of God. Have a great week being the love of Jesus in skin. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much, Richard Michelle.
All my